Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in. This is a special broadcast. We do a lot of interviews and things on Fridays, and today I have a very dear friend, a very special friend here in the studio with me. Lisa Radmore is the development director here at the ranch, but what we're going to talk about is what many of you have seen in the news. I've heard from people not just across the United States, but in other countries, as far away as Australia, contacting us to see how things are at the ranch and if we were spared in the midst of the horrible fires that were devastating not only in Sevier County, but right here in Ware's Valley. Gatlinburg is much more famous than Ware's Valley, and one of the things that they reported about the extensive fire damage in Gatlinburg was the Cobbley Knob area, where over 70 houses were burned. Well, here in Ware's Valley, there were about 70 houses that were burned also. And so for the first time in a long time, if ever, Ware's Valley was making news around the world. People were talking about it. Again, not as recognized a name as Gatlinburg, because not as many people come to Ware's Valley to vacation. Millions go to Gatlinburg, have for a long time. Ware's Valley has stayed much more rural. But we have dear friends who lost their homes here in the valley, and it's been an unprecedented disaster here in our region. And our governor, who, thank the Lord, is both a friend and a brother in Christ, when he did a news conference here recently, said that this is the worst fire in the state of Tennessee in over 100 years. So I'm going to be talking with Lisa, who is a lifetime resident of this area, and who, along with her husband Skip, is very grateful to have survived the fire. Lisa, you were living in an area where the fire really burned right in your neighborhood, didn't it?
Yes, it did. We live in an area, a road that connects Gatlinburg to Pigeon Forge, and its nickname of the road is the Spur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a tunnel along that road, and our home is on the ridgetop above the tunnel. The road to our home is a dead-end road, mm-hmm. so there is no back way away from the spur. You are literally trapped in there if something were to go wrong, and it did.
And it did. It certainly did. Now, you folks had to drive out, as many others did. You had to drive through fire to escape fire.
We did.
And you were in two vehicles.
Yes, we were. When we got down to the spur, it was gridlocked. There was traffic just sitting there. And my husband phoned me on our cell phone and said, if the fire makes it close enough to us, we're going to jump out and leave our cars and go get in the river.
Yeah.
To avoid fire.
That was really the only hope. And some of the photos, very dramatic photos, showed deer standing in the river to try and escape the flames.
Yes.
Because it was a matter of life and death, and there were people who died. As we're recording this several days before the broadcast, they still don't know how many people may have perished in this fire, but they do know that some did. And there were some who were horribly burned and are in critical condition at the Burn Center in Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville. As of the time of this recording, this was devastation. It was like an inferno.
It was.
Now, the reasons why it was so bad, and some of you have heard this, and some of you may have wondered because you didn't get this part, we've been in a drought since July 5th.
It's been amazing. We have not had rain to amount to anything. I mean, I've lived here all my life, and I've never seen a fall this dry.
Right. I mean, this is unprecedented
for this long.
And they've been warning it's dangerous.
Well, that's part of the problem right now too, because everything is so dry. The roots of the trees are on fire underground.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's hard to put it out.
Exactly. It just keeps burning. And even when they put water on top of the ground, mm-hmm. it's not enough to extinguish that slow burning fire under the ground. And it keeps cropping back up. And when these winds hit, there had been many fires around the region in western North Carolina and North Georgia and southern Kentucky. There were fires burning in various places. But when the winds hit here in East Tennessee and got as high as 87 miles an hour, it was reported, all of a sudden the fire spread and couldn't be stopped.
That's correct. Evidently, the debris from the fire would blow up to a mile and start another fire a mile away.
Yeah. And also with the wind, there were power lines knocked down, mm-hmm. and that created sparks, and those sparks were enough to ignite a fire, because it was as if the whole county had been set up to burn.
It's almost like we were doused with gasoline.
That's right. I mean, it was the equivalent. Mm-hmm. It didn't take much at all to get a fire going, and then it was almost impossible to stop.
That's true.
So it's been a perfect storm, a collection of circumstances that got us to this point. And as we're recording this, thank God, the rains have come. This morning at devotions, we said, you know, it's supposed to rain really hard today, and within minutes, it was raining really hard. So we're very grateful for the rains that have come. But meanwhile, there are a lot of people who've lost their homes.
Yes.
Tell us about your neighborhood and sort of what's left.
To get to my neighborhood yesterday, my husband and I had to take a four-wheel drive through the woods and then hike into it through burnt woods, mm-hmm. wooded area. And the first home we saw, we didn't realize what it was. It was a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it took us a while to realize it was a house two doors down from ours.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing we saw was our very next door neighbor's home, just a foundation. And we totally expected to turn our heads to the right and see nothing but a foundation for our home.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, God chose to spare our home. Mm-hmm. And we saw the roof, and we were just totally stunned
mm-hmm.
that houses on either side of us, around the whole ridgetop that we live on, were gone, but there stood our home.
But when you saw that, you also saw something else, and that was there was some wood that was already burning there next to your house. What was sitting on top of that wood?
We had a propane tank sitting on railroad ties on the edge of the property,
mm-hmm.
and the railroad ties were on fire.
So the railroad ties are on fire. Propane tank sitting on the top. Did you turn and run in the other direction?
No, probably should have, but we didn't. Our neighbor's house that was gone had a swimming pool, and there was still water contained in the swimming pool. So we went and found buckets in our basement,
mm-hmm.
and used water and carried it down to our house to put that fire out. It took us, I think we put the fire out five times. It was like you were saying how the roots keep coming back
mm-hmm.
when they catch fire, how they kept reigniting. And that's what was happening to the railroad ties.
Yeah.
So before we left the house, there was absolutely no smoke coming from that particular area, even though there were still several hot spots around our house that we just could not completely get out.
Yeah. So your house still standing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is around you gone.
Yes.
And you folks left wondering. I spoke with your husband, Skip, and spoke with you, and it's like, why did the Lord do this? And I said, well, it's probably not because you deserve it.
No. our neighbors that lost their home love the Lord.
Yep.
And I am 100% confident they prayed for God to protect their home just like we did.
Yeah.
That was the last thing we did when we left our home. Skip and I stopped, and we prayed
mm-hmm.
for God's will to be done.
Praise God. Well, and folks, many times we don't understand, because one believer is struck with disaster and another believer is spared. And it's not as if the Bible tells us, well, that's because of this. The only thing the Bible tells us about that is that God is working his purpose out.
Absolutely, and he is good.
Amen. Amen. Now, Skip expressed to me, and I'm sorry that I didn't ask him to come down and talk with us too, but he wasn't in the building.
Well, he's up at the house working right now.
Okay. Well, Skip said to me last night, he said, you know, I feel guilty because I don't understand. And that is called survivor's guilt. And it is a very widespread phenomenon. A person who's in a car wreck with other people and they're the lone survivor and they say, why? And they feel guilty. Skip didn't burn down the neighbor's house. But suddenly, when you're the one who's blessed with survival, it's hard.
Well, we were the only people in our neighborhood. And we were the ones that were calling our neighbors to tell them they had nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very difficult to do.
Yes.
To the point we were actually taking pictures with our cell phone because they just wanted to see.
Yeah.
And that was very hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this has touched you in a deep way. You said that you have felt for a while you needed to cry and you haven't been able to.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
There's grief in the midst of it, even though your house was spared. Your things are still there. But you're grieving because of all those around you who have lost all their possessions.
Yeah, well, it's not just one person. It's a whole community.
Yes.
And it's a very close community.
Yes.
And it's painful.
Absolutely. The mayor of Gatlinburg lost his home and his business of over 30 years. And this story is being repeated all around this area. I got a call today from one of our former board members. He was served on the board years ago, and a precious brother in Christ living down in Georgia. And he wanted to make sure we were okay and that the ranch was okay. And I talked with him about the Lord's kindness and how we'd been spared the flames, that although right here in the valley we had to evacuate during the height of the fire, and all the kids and staff, we had to evacuate the property, and we did not know if we would come back the next day and just find ashes or if we would find things still standing. And praise the Lord, we came back and everything was still standing except for the picnic pavilion, which was picked up in the air and tossed to the side. That is an indication of how bad the winds were, folks.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, it was tornadic wind. We had wind gusts here that were well over 60 miles an hour and may have been much higher than that. We do know about the wind in Gatlinburg that was recorded at 87 miles an hour. But regardless of the speed and regardless of the wind damage, the Lord knows that it was a mercy for us to come back and find this children's home still standing. The various houses in which the children live, the school buildings on campus, the counseling center, the dining hall, all those facilities still standing. And we just rejoice in that. And even the construction delay on our chapel turns out to have been a mercy, because if we just had part of the structure up when that wind came through, we would probably have lost that structure and had to start again.
And hard to say where the structure would have hit.
Exactly.
Could have tore much more. Another thing to mention is this came on Monday after Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
On Saturday, the resort town of Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge were packed. If this had happened 2 days earlier, many more would have perished.
Absolutely. Much more loss of life. The timing was a blessing. As
yes.
As bad as it was, as much devastation as was there, there would have been many, many, many more people killed if it had been just 2 days sooner.
I believe that.
Yeah. Now, in trying to deal with this and trying to come to grips with you know, what all this is about, one of the scriptures that is on my heart is from Psalm 119, where the psalmist says, "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to share about the board member from Atlanta who called to be sure that we were okay. And I was telling him about the fact that the ranch had been spared the flames and only had wind damage and so forth. But I started telling him about some of our friends in the area who had lost their homes and so forth. And he said, you know, that is really such a hard thing. And then he proceeded to tell me that back toward the end of July this year, he and his wife lost their home. Mm. They were out for the day together, and lightning struck their home in the middle of the afternoon, and their home burned completely, was totally gone. They returned home to just this kind of scene that you described, Lisa, wow, where it's just a foundation. All their possessions, photo albums, keepsakes, things kids made, the kinds of stuff the grandkids give you to put on the refrigerator, all those precious memories just totally burned to ash. And, you know, his statement was, it is a very hard thing. It's very disorienting, mm-hmm, because you come home and it's not like if you had a half an hour to pack or you had 10 minutes to pack. They didn't pack anything. They just went out for the day and came back, and there was nothing to come back to. It was all gone. And he said, we've been kind of disoriented trying to restart. And he said, but my wife and I had been saying for several years that we thought we should downsize. And he said, I guess God decided we weren't moving quickly enough. So he said, we are now going to live in a smaller home with fewer possessions. But, you know, these folks remind us that sometimes it's a good thing, right, to go through hard times.
Absolutely.
And Lisa, you know something of that as well. You were sharing at our Thanksgiving dinner here at the ranch, prior to all of this fire stuff, you shared about how one of the things you were thankful for in this last year, mm-hmm, was an unexpected blessing. Talk with us about that.
In the first week of April, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at the time, I was working for a local bank. And for 2 years, there was some people God had put on my heart that I should witness to there. And it was, I was just having a hard time sharing the gospel with these two particular people. And just having the courage to do it. And so I was diagnosed with a breast cancer. And one of the people that I had a burden for was someone I had to tell about my diagnosis with, because I would be out of work. And in doing so, I told this person, you do not have to be afraid for me. Death has no victory over me. Mm-hmm. Jesus defeated death. I trust in Jesus. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid.
Praise God.
And, you know, that's the gospel.
Amen.
And to be able to share the gospel in such an easy way, I was just, I left the room and I was like, wow, thank you, God.
Praise God.
Thank you, God, that you gave me such a beautiful gift.
Amen.
To be able to share that with somebody that I love,
mm-hmm,
and that I was just letting my fear, mm-hmm, getting in the way of just saying that to,
yeah,
him.
Isn't it amazing how we can be afraid to share the gospel more than we're afraid to face death?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you were not afraid when you got the cancer diagnosis. You were afraid to share the gospel, and God used your fearlessness regarding the cancer to open the door to share the good news of Jesus dying on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life.
Absolutely true. And it also opened up the door for the second person.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how many other people that I just didn't expect to say that to,
amen,
that I was given the opportunity. And it's always interesting to see the reaction. You can tell pretty quickly where they stand with the Lord as to,
yeah,
how they react to that.
Yes. Amen.
And
so you would say that God has used even this difficulty with cancer to bless you.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah, it's truly been a blessing. And I am joyful over the fact that I had cancer. I don't now, but I did, mm-hmm, have cancer, and, mm-hmm, it opened those doors up for me. And it just gave me a new outlook on witnessing to other people and more boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I've prayed for a long time, and I just am thankful for that.
But God sent the answer in a way you wouldn't have chosen.
No, I hate needles. No, I hate needles, and I don't like pain.
Yeah.
I'm totally a wimp. I'm still grateful for it, even though I don't like the needles.
Amen. Well, and, you know, folks, we need to recognize not everybody's house is on fire. But everybody's going through difficulty in one form or another. I was talking with a dear friend today who said, you know, I'm about to go on this trip and do this and so forth. And I asked about a family member, and he said, well, she's married to a very likable guy, but actually he seems to have a great love for cocaine. Ooh. And so, you know, this is tearing the family apart. Substance abuse affects so many families. So many people in our country are trying to figure out, what do I do in order to love somebody who is hooked on alcohol, on drugs of another sort? You know, how do you deal with that? Folks, that's like having a house on fire. And it can be just as devastating, and you can lose everything materially,
right,
because of drug addiction or alcoholism. I have dealt with so many kids here whose families have been absolutely devastated because of a parent's addiction. And we don't know what you may be going through today, but God does. And whatever it is, you may lose your house like my friends have. Mm-hmm. Or your house may stay standing like Lisa's. You may be diagnosed with breast cancer or brain cancer or whatever it might be. But God is able to bring blessing to you in the midst of your loss. One of the wonderful things that happens when we lose our house, or when we get the cancer diagnosis, or when our child is diagnosed with a serious condition, all of a sudden, it focuses our attention in a very dramatic way. Mm-hmm. Things that were clouding our thinking before are now much clearer. We see things with a clarity that we lacked before. We were distracted by all kinds of stuff. And it turns out that stuff doesn't matter. It turns out the things that we thought we cared about really aren't that significant, because they're not going to last forever. People are going to last forever. People are going to spend eternity one place or another. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul describes his own situation and how God blessed him with a tormenting affliction that he describes as a messenger of Satan. How can it be a messenger of Satan and a blessing from God at the same time? Well, go back and read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you find out that even what the enemy does, and he intends for evil, God intends for good.
Amen.
And God is able to bring blessing out of it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, we read that Jesus, who was perfect, who was sinless, learned obedience through the things that he suffered and became complete, so that he is able to bring salvation to all those who obey him. Folks, I don't know what you're going through. And I thank you, those of you who prayed. I know many of you prayed for us here at the ranch. And it is the mercy and grace of God that we were spared from the flames. But I am much more concerned about people being spared from eternal flames. That is the ultimate disaster. And that's what Jesus warned us. Don't fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear the one who, having destroyed the body, can destroy the soul in hell. He wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about God. We need to fear the Lord and get right with him. This is the opportunity. Trust in him. Ask Jesus to forgive your sins and save you. And you know what? He will. And then you can face anything. God bless you. Be sure and tune in next week. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.